Welcome to Faith Uncut, a podcast where we explore faith in ways that might get you kicked out of most churches. I'm your host, Mike.
And I'm Amira.
Today, we have a special announcement that we announced previously, but we're going to talk about it a little bit more in detail today.
Yes.
So, Ms. Amira B. is launching a new media platform focused on political power of Black women called Body Politic.
Yes.
This new venture is a podcast, and we are looking forward to hearing more about it and supporting it. And so, you ready to talk about it?
Sure.
All right. So what is the body politic?
The actual definition of the body politic, or a body politic, is the people of a nation, state, or society considered collectively as an organized group of citizens. And I don't think I knew this formal definition when I came up with this, but I was just thinking about what it would mean to look at American politics through the lens of Black women. So this new podcast is going to be focused on that. Different issues and different topics, some historical, some current, where we intentionally look at the lens of those things through Black females.
I know you're not going to do the whole podcast right here in this preview, but what type of things can we expect, or what type of perspectives can we expect to see or hear?
So really, I think that we lead from behind. I believe I've said that on other episodes, especially when we're talking about different social justice issues. But it is important to look at the intersection of race and gender when it comes to how do different policies impact Black women. So I've been exposed to that professionally and, you know, in school, academically or whatever. But I just did not want to lose the moment where we could now focus on politics on a local, state, and national level and really understand how Black women contribute or how they're directly affected by those actions or those policies or those processes.
You're a Black woman. Mm-hmm. You live these realities every day. What inspired you to take on this project of cataloging what's important about this in this forum?
I've been exposed to our imagery and the idealization of a Black woman through not just historical study, but like even in the consideration of media, right? So when those images are produced, I was confronted with who benefits from us appearing to be monolithic or a certain type of way. Fortunately for me, I've had some really strong mentors and guides along the way who helped me discover and feel out the facets to this whole existence. So I'm inspired to do it because it's not just the things that we've considered, you know, via media, which is like your imagery, you know, are you being hypersexualized, oversexualized, colorism, and all these other things. Those things don't exist in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. They all come together to affect us in other aspects of our life and livelihood. So like, it's not just about reaching out and for Essence magazine or Ebony magazine. It's also when your ideas that are supported by what you've seen in an Essence or Ebony magazine affect how you establish policies for who you think you saw in those images. Because people don't always think about it that way, or they don't drill deep that with every opportunity. And I think that Black women have made so many strides in public-facing leadership that really amplify what we've been doing in private, in our churches, in our homes. Mm-hmm. So it's not a long shot for me to see Black women in the executive branch or in the Supreme Court. It was a long time coming. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, it's the manifestation of the very beginning of the laws and policies that were ever made or designed to affect Black bodies. So it's like, that is worth talking about. That's a continuum. That's a spectrum. That's, these things haven't happened in silos. It's a bigger picture.
Okay. All right. So one of the things that I did when I started Faith Uncut, I looked at, you know, the landscape and assessed. I did not see the community that I needed at the time. Mm-hmm. And I did not have a space to work through some of the ideas that I was struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I started that I started to connect with other people doing that work. And and it was a beautiful experience of discovery, you know, to come across people like D. Daniel Thomas and Nick Gaines and people that are working in this space towards healing. Have you had the opportunity to see who's actually doing this yet? So keep in mind, people were doing it before I knew they were doing it.
Absolutely. So I do feel like there are voices that are contributing to this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to, kind of like you, just figuring out who's contributing and latching on to what they're saying. One, so that I can amplify their voice on this platform. But also, I'm excited for the exchange of ideas, because how I see it is not going to be mm-hmm. how someone else sees it, and vice versa. But there are people who are definitely working in this space. I am not inventing the wheel. What I'm hoping to do, and I've been exposed to a woman who described herself as a convener, right? So she was a person who brought people together mm-hmm. for the sole purpose of exchanging ideas. So I can see some of the potential of doing that. Okay. And then I think that when you are motivated to tell the stories in the background, and there's a lot of power in doing something on a smaller platform, mm-hmm. you can talk about things that might not make it to somebody else's YouTube channel or something yeah. like that. So I'm excited to tell it how I see it. And I'm hoping that I find guides and find mentors and other conversationalists along the way.
Yeah, that learning and finding your community is yeah. a big deal, because it helps you. I mean, you're not really in the conversation until you're in the conversation.
Not at all. I mean, coming to Faith Uncut kind of showed me that, too. We were having conversations as friends. Mm-hmm. And then you were like, hey, you know, why don't you come talk about that here? And what did I find, except that people agreed, or they had questions for me that made me consider my points of view. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't have happened if I kept having those conversations quietly off to the side. So this experience has definitely pushed me forward. Like, when I first ever conceptualized Body Politic, it was supposed to be a magazine. Mm-hmm. We don't do that anymore. So mm-hmm. there has to be a new engagement. There has mm-hmm. to be new considerations on how do you reach an audience. And until I came here with podcasting mm-hmm. and seeing, you know, what that looks like behind the scenes and what the finished product looks like, I had put this idea away, and now it's just back. So it's like a seed that's coming up out of the ground. It's exciting.
It has to be significant that you are starting a podcast about the body politic and its impact on Black women from here in the nation's capital. Mm. Does that afford you any resources, access that you look forward to expanding?
Yes. I think the simple answer is yes. I have so many strong examples of that Black woman political leader mm-hmm. on a local level,
yeah.
as well as, you know, her participating in state politics, as well as national mm-hmm. And international politics. So I look forward to capitalizing. It's just like, it's almost like the same as being able to study in this area.
Yeah.
You know, people go to graduate school all over the world, but I know that I benefited from being able to do research at the Library of Congress personally by walking in, mm-hmm. you know, as opposed to maybe having to rely online or do certain things. So it has value, and it has value because politics is the lifeblood of this area.
Mm-hmm.
Having been exposed to that, and I think growing up in the shadow of D.C., sometimes you take it for granted.
You do. Yeah.
But a lot of us, our peers, have these Black women leaders in government in our homes. They have been civil servants, or they have been appointed to different things, or they are in our schools. Mm-hmm. And as you rise up in our school systems, you realize how politics affects, you know, the quality of education that yeah. your child gets. So I just see it as a, like, almost like a quilt, and we're going to just weave it together, and we're going to look mm-hmm. at the different blocks on the quilt.
Okay.
You, just like we say, in our ancestors would weave these quilts, and they would give us direction, and mm-hmm. each color or the angles taught us something or told us something.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to decode. I would like to identify and decode.
All right. So this is going to be, this is going to be an interesting ride that I'm looking to take it with you. So what happens after this?
So there'll be some topics. I mean, we're going to jump in. I have enlisted some people to help me
mm-hmm.
To discuss some of these topics. So for those who don't know, I hold a bachelor's degree in history. And we always say it's more than an interest. You know, people be like, oh, I like history, too. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, no, it's not different. The same. And a deep interest in political science. And I realized, again, through this experience, you don't have to do all the intellectual heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. So there'll be historical topics. There'll be some current topics. And just we just want to have some considerations. And again, when you're telling the smaller story, the background story, you have to be intentional about going to get it. So you can't be satisfied mm-hmm. with how the issue appears to be. So like, if we wanted to talk about, and we don't know what's coming, but here's an example of how my mind works. If we were talking about the war on drugs, I feel like the lowest hanging fruit is mass incarceration mm-hmm. because it's pervasive. It definitely has a face. People have been directly affected. There's so many stories. But as we began to flesh out the facets of what mass incarceration is, we started to tell the stories about the children mm-hmm. of the incarcerated. And again, we thought that that was about fatherlessness. You know, that's what you're thinking. But there's another step there. There are children who are growing up with mothers who are incarcerated, who have these inequitable sentences, or who are experiencing civil rights violations, who are cut off from their resources. What does that look like when you mix that data with all the other statistics that we have about the persistence of Black female-led households? That's a political question.
I'm really looking forward to this. You are one of my favorite people on the planet, one of the most brilliant minds I know. I love the way you think. I love the way you are able to parse complex sociological issues and help us understand them.
I appreciate that.
So this is going to be quite the journey for you.
Quite the journey. I'm excited. I'm excited to get going. And I really appreciate you and your encouragement across so many years. You never let me forget about it. But now's the time. And I'm excited to do this.
Oh, and you said, it sounds like you said goodbye. We're not done.
Oh, we're not done?
Yeah. No, okay. No. I'm talking about Faith Uncut is not over.
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
So we're going to be around together.
No. This is
not goodbye.
Faith Uncut introduces. So.
This is and also.
And also. We're just growing.
Yeah.
We're growing. We're happy to grow.
All right. So y'all be looking out for Body Politic. We will definitely announce when it drops, where you can follow on all of the podcast platforms. And we'll see you then.
Yes. Thank you.